Hi, everyone. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I am Mike Spofford, and I was so excited to say this, is the birthday boy, Wes Hodkowitz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. Happy birthday, my fine friend. Do you have any words of wisdom to say on this milestone day for you?
Gosh, all I'll say is to all the kids out there, enjoy your time. Because I'll tell you what, number 30 catches up to you very quickly. I woke up this morning. I felt very similar to how I felt in the past, but there's just a little bit more back pain than usual. So it has to happen eventually. To me, it was this particular day.
Yeah, well, one player for the Green Bay Packers who is probably feeling a bit younger this week because he is back in action and ready to play on Sunday, and that is quarterback Aaron Rodgers. We heard from him at his locker on Wednesday after practice, Wes, and a lot of interesting things that he had to say, but I'll start with this. He knows the expectations for him are high, but he is not backing down from them at all. He said, hey, I'm not here to save the season, but he knows what the expectations are for him to play well and to give this team a shot, and he's ready to give it everything he has.
It's one thing to be the best player in the National Football League. It's another thing to know you're the best player in the National Football League. And there's a lot of guys out there that are going to have that mindset. I think all champions do. From Rodgers' perspective, this is his moment. This is what he's worked for. 8 weeks of rigorous rehab to get back to this point. Shooting through his recovery, Mike McCarthy was just so effusive in his praise.
Absolutely.
Of the approach he took and the work ethic he had and really how he worked with the training staff and team physician, Dr. Pat McKenzie, to get to this point, to put himself in this position. I thought the big thing that McCarthy really said on Wednesday was really putting over his mental toughness. I think that's a big component to this because we can talk about the collarbone and how much it's healed and how much his arm strength is there. But really, after being down for 2 months, it comes down to your ability to jump back into this thing and not skip a beat. Randall Cobb said it in the locker room Wednesday. They don't have a whole lot of time to get their chemistry back or whatever.
Right.
They sort of have to hit the ground running. And with Aaron Rodgers and an opportunity, seeing what's in front of him here to make another postseason run, it's a challenge that he's definitely embracing.
Yeah, and when you talk about the mental toughness, it's not only that that focus and determination and everything that he put into his rehab with this as the target to get back for the game against the Carolina Panthers, but there's going to be a certain level of mental toughness as well taking the field on Sunday. Mike McCarthy said, hey, Aaron Rodgers just needs to play his game. Rodgers said the same thing. I wouldn't be back here ready to play if I weren't confident I could play the way I play without, you know, having to be extra cautious about the injury and everything like that. At the same time, we're all human.
Yes.
He had surgery on that throwing shoulder. There's hardware in there. There's a bone that is most likely not 100% healed, or there wouldn't have been as long a discussion as there was about whether he should really come back or not. So there's a certain level of mental toughness to go out there and trust everything and just play as though there is nothing wrong, because if you can't play like that, then you're not being yourself. And Rodgers said, I've got to be myself. I've got to play my game.
And that's the same thing McCarthy said too when people were asking if he's going to have to do anything differently. You have to be the player that you are. Now, I mean, there's certain things that he can be a little bit more aware of in this particular contest than maybe in his traditional, usual, everything's fine kind of games. Of course. I mean, you're not going to be able to go out there and not think about things that have happened in the past. That's with any injury. So for Rodgers, I think the biggest thing is him getting out there, getting into a rhythm, and understanding the pieces around him now, Mike. I mean, I was talking to a number of guys in the locker room and hearing what the receivers also said. They understand this isn't just the Aaron Rodgers show. They are a component of this. He is a component of this. But he has a good run game to work off. He has three talented receivers who are all healthy to work off of in an offensive line that's stabilizing. That's really should be the focus, I think, for this Packers team, and they all understand it. It's not one player trying to make a playoff run. He said he's not here to save the season. He's here to contribute and hopefully factor into what would be a ninth playoff appearance for the Packers. So it's a lot of things to take into account, but at the same time, with the start he was off to this season, if he can be back to that, if he can get into that rhythm again, I mean, there's no reason to think why this team couldn't finish strong.
Yeah, and I'll be very curious to see come Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern time in Charlotte when that ball is kicked off, just how much energy the Packers have for the start of this game. They've started games fairly well, yeah, you know, throughout the season, no matter who the quarterback has been. But you just wonder if there's going to be that extra bounce in everybody's step, that extra enthusiasm for the start of this, knowing that, hey, the leader is back, and, you know, but we've got to go win some games, and we've got a shot here. When, you know, frankly, you know, after a 24-0 loss to Baltimore at Lambeau Field just a few weeks ago, the fact that the Packers are even in this position, yeah, is very uplifting, because things were looking rather bleak for a while.
Ron Rivera, Panthers head coach, had a really interesting conference call with Green Bay reporters on Wednesday. And count him as one of the ones that was least surprised about this when it was asked about that. You know, he said earlier in the week they were planning for Aaron Rodgers when the announcement was made on Tuesday. He was asked about it. He said, yeah, I was totally – that didn't surprise me at all. And he said that type of player, when he's back on the field, that is going to be something that energizes everybody.
Yep.
There's just a different level that comes out of those, you know, those teammates, offense, defense, special teams. The Panthers have seen it too with Cam Newton during the small intervals where he hasn't been available. When he's back on the field, it lifts guys. So yep, the Panthers are prepared for the Packers' best effort in this one. I know what the records say. I know the Panthers have won 5 of the last 6, but from Ron Rivera's perspective, he's fully anticipating Aaron Rodgers is not going to skip a beat in an offense that's really going to rally around him.
Yeah, and Mike McCarthy said it's going to be a playoff-type atmosphere down there in Charlotte. That's absolutely what both teams are prepared for. With that, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford in this chair, Wes Hodkiewicz in that one. And Wes, in the opening segment, you talked about the players around Aaron Rodgers and the supporting cast, whatever you want to call it. And I thought it was very interesting. A couple of times in the media session at his locker, Rodgers made specific mention of number 87, Jordy Nelson, saying he thinks he's got a lot of juice left. I think, yeah, that was the phrase that he used. It sounds like you know, Rodgers is ready to, you know, really rebuild, or I guess restore that chemistry, that connection with number 87. He even talked about, he mentioned briefly, some offensive concepts that that they got away from with Brett Hundley at quarterback, just because of the way Hundley plays the game, that Rodgers feels are back in the game plan now. And you have to think, saying that along with what he said about Jordy Nelson, that that number 87 could be highly involved on Sunday.
I've said this for a number of years. You can go back through the film. Marvin upstairs could bring it up if he wants to. I think Jordy Nelson's going to be a factor in this league for years to come. I really do. And the reason I've always felt that is because of that hybrid mindset of him and the way he's physically built. He is the kind of guy that if you put 25 more pounds on him, he'd be a tight end. I mean, he has that size. He has that frame. I think he can be a factor in the middle of the field. Packers got comfortable with what they were doing with Brett Hundley, and it required different things to those receivers than when Aaron Rodgers is on the field. I think each of those guys got their opportunities, but sometimes with the way the structure of the game went and the game flow and the emphasis on the run game, they probably weren't getting as many touches as they were accustomed to. Not once did Jordy Nelson bring it up as an issue. Not once did Randall Cobb talk about it either. Right. They're there to do their job. But at the end of the day, there is an understanding that Aaron Rodgers is, again, in that conversation for one of the best to ever do it at that position. So you go back and you look at the years between him and Jordy Nelson, the chemistry that those two have developed. You wrote about it in the Packers yearbook this year, the different routes, the different concepts, the different type of moments where they've come through,
yep,
for each other, with each other. That's still there. And I think if you go back to the first six games, first five games of this season, Jordy Nelson was leading the league in touchdown receptions. He was a factor in this offense. That hasn't gone away. Now with Rodgers back at quarterback, I think that's a relationship they're looking to continue and really help them, you know, catapult themselves into the postseason.
Yeah, and you said it before, Wes. These receivers don't have a lot of time right now,
right,
to sort of get everything back on the same page necessarily with Aaron Rodgers in just a few practices. But it's that decade with Jordy Nelson. It's the 6-7 years with Randall Cobb. That's what you do have to draw upon, even if you haven't been able to get it all back in just a few practices. That's what Aaron Rodgers and his veteran receivers are going to draw upon, taking nothing away from Davante Adams. And we're not saying that suddenly Aaron Rodgers is going to forget about Davante Adams by any means. But Nelson and Cobb are the guys that have been with Rodgers even that much longer. They've built up that much more over a longer period of time. And certainly Jordy, you know, I mean, being a rookie in 2008 when Aaron Rodgers first got the starting job, that's a long time. It's a lot of touchdowns. It's a lot of it's you know, countless thousands of practice reps, game reps, everything that goes into that. And I will be very, very interested to see just how Jordy Nelson is used from an alignment standpoint, from a schematic standpoint, everything with Aaron Rodgers back on the field.
Yeah, and one concept that I did like that they did, and I'm curious to see if it could continue, they brought Jordy Nelson in more in-line, not as an in-line tight end, but, I mean, he was lining up more in those bunch formations. They used more of Geronimo Allison, sometimes even like Jamal Williams splitting wide outside. I think that's something that can be effective for him. I mean, if you can get him and Cobb going underneath some of the middle field stuff, that's where you begin to really dissect a defense. And just with the quick reads and the arm strength of Rodgers, I think that can be a big weapon for them. And then furthermore, you know, I touched on very briefly in the first segment with that running game too. Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones are established now. Aaron Jones had one of his best career games in Dallas when Rodgers was still playing. But now you have that 1-2 punch going. Rodgers even said it at his locker. They're running the ball a lot better now than they were 2 months ago. So these are the things that they have to do. If you can get that going early, that takes the eighth man out of the box, you know, at the safeties. That forces them into too high coverage. And that is where you're getting into that cat and mouse game where Aaron Rodgers can really go to work.
Yeah, and with regards to the future here, obviously so much focus on the Carolina Panthers and the present, but Aaron Rodgers not oblivious to what's down the road, and that's with Davante Adams being in a contract year and the season that he's having, you know, said, hey, Davante Adams is making himself a lot of money, and Rodgers threw it out there. He obviously hopes that that Adams gets that next contract here in Green Bay sooner rather than later. But what you mentioned with regards to kind of the cat and mouse game, the chess game with the Packers running backs and what that's going to do to the Carolina defense, I want to explore that a little bit more after the break. We'll get to that back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkiewicz over there. And Wes, let's get back to that discussion about the running game. We've seen Aaron Jones be the feature running back in this offense, with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback in Dallas, as a matter of fact. We've seen Jamal Williams be the feature running back in this offense. Several productive games with Brett Hundley at quarterback. Both are available, and now the Packers have the quarterback running the show, who may be, he's if not the best, he's one of the best in the game at making the changes at the line of scrimmage to get the offense in the best possible play based on what the defense is showing and what the offensive call is. The chess match resumes. This is a Carolina defense that is not going to be fooled by anybody, even by Aaron Rodgers. But what the Packers have done in revitalizing that running game out of necessity with Brett Hundley at quarterback, but they got that running game back to where it's at a very productive level. It could really change the way this offense looks down the stretch.
Story time with Wes Hodkiewicz.
Okay,
if you're ready for it, there was a time 4 years ago. By the way, third in the league right now on run defense is the Carolina Panthers. That's the preamble. There was a time 4 years ago, Mike, Aaron Rodgers was gone for 7 games. There was a running back out of Alabama, second-round pick. Eddie Lacy becomes the focal point of that offense during that time. Credit to Matt Flynn. Credit to the receivers. Jordy Nelson had a great year that year, too. But Eddie Lacy became the heart and soul of that unit. You get to that December, whatever it was, game against the Chicago Bears, week 17, Aaron Rodgers, Eddie Lacy. Now, Lacy was dealing with an ankle injury at that time.
Yep.
But you really got to see what this offense can do when they had a 1,000-yard rusher in Aaron Rodgers. And that built. It wasn't just that season. It built into 2014 when Lacy did that again with another 1,100-yard year. The way they have both of these running backs going, It's going to be tough for both of them to have 1,000 yards rushing, no doubt. But they have such a tight bond with each other. They were roommates this offseason. They share the same agency. They really have given the Packers exactly what they wanted when they made that decision to go with 3 draft picks this past year. Establishing the running game with young players, it takes time. Mike McCarthy said it as recently as 2 weeks ago. It wasn't easy to develop 3 rookie running backs, all draft picks. But they did it. And both of those guys, when counted upon, really responded to it. So I think this is going to be an exciting thing to see. I think it's the most intriguing part of this because we really don't know what this could look like yet with a 1-2 punch and Aaron Rodgers at quarterback.
Yeah, and what you mentioned about 2013 is intriguing to me also because in a lot of ways, and I know it took, you know, one of those miracle-type plays, 4th and 8 from the 48, Rodgers to Cobb to beat the Bears to win the division and get into the playoffs. But I've always wondered just how far that Packers team might have gone when you talk about having Rodgers back, having Lacy doing what he was doing. I know that playoff season it was a one and done against the San Francisco 49ers here, but that was against a Packers defense that was so banged up.
Yeah.
Clay Matthews was out. Nick Perry's out there with a broken foot. Andy Malumba's running around trying to chase Colin Kaepernick on one leg.
Torn MCL.
You know, Sam Shields had left the game. You know, Jarrett Bush, who was, you know, 5th or 6th on the depth chart at cornerback, is out there playing, you know, in the nickel defense, all these things. And yet the Packers lost on a last-second field goal.
Yeah, they almost won that game.
Yeah, to a 49ers team that got all the way to the NFC Championship and came 20 yards away from beating the Seattle Seahawks and getting back to another Super Bowl. So what you say about, you know, this running game and what it means to this offense and how far it can go. I realize the Packers have a tough road here to try to win these last 3 and get into the playoffs. But man, if they can do it, who the heck knows, right?
Exactly. And the other thing that stands out to me about this running game too, with where they're situated, is Mike McCarthy mentioned this in his Wednesday news conference. The blocking in front of them is having a tremendous season. I mean, David Bakhtiari has become an all-around left tackle. He's as good of a run blocker now as he has been a pass blocker. I think Lane Taylor has improved exponentially in that area at left guard. And Corey Linsley, for my money, is one of the best in the business in terms of getting to the second level. The pieces are there for them to be able to run the football. So when Aaron Rodgers goes back out there, this isn't going to be 2015 when he's having to throw 50, 60 times a game.
Yeah.
They're going to be able to manage this thing. And being able to have those options back there, I think, is going to make his life easier. And it's going to give those defenses a lot more to consider. Again, as I just said before, they weren't able to run the ball earlier this season. They had their moments, but it wasn't consistent enough. Their yards per carry wasn't up there. Now you got guys in Williams and Jones. These guys have been up for running back, you know, ground player of the week, rookie of the week, clutch performer of the week. These guys stepped up. And now you're in an opportunity that you have the best, you know, one of the best players in the game next to you. You know, this is their moment. And talking to Aaron Jones on Wednesday, this isn't lost on him and Jamal Williams. They understand this opportunity and they want to take advantage of it.
Yeah, and it starts on Sunday in Carolina. You got a feeling if the Packers can get this one and you really get that momentum going in the right direction, you know, we'll see what happens.
Against the number 3 run defense, in preparation for the number 2 run defense, could be a good way to start it out.
Yeah, no question. With that, we'll toss to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, we haven't touched anything on the Packers defense in the show, so we need to do that before we go because a bit of an injury update here. Some good news, bad news when the Packers got back to practice on Wednesday. Outside linebacker Nick Perry and cornerback Dimitri Goodson, both back at practice after missing last week's game. But linebacker Jake Ryan, a potential key run defender against this Carolina Panthers offense, he missed practice with a knee injury. Cornerback Devon House missed practice. No surprise there based on what Mike McCarthy had said earlier in the week. And there's another guy I'm forgetting.
Josh Jones had a baby.
That's right, Josh Jones. He missed practice, but a positive personal issue, as they like to say around here. So just what's your take right now on where this Packers defense sits? Obviously, you'd love to get Nick Perry back, and if Dimitri Goodson can provide some more depth at the cornerback position, that'd be great. But Jake Ryan could be a key loss.
That was a good point you made, Michael, with Jake Ryan, because I don't think there was any headlines about that with him missing practice on Wednesday with the media. But that's a big player right now with the way they've been defending. The Nitro Nichols kind of had to take a back seat now because Morgan Burnett, who's, I mean, you could consider the number four inside linebacker. Well, now he's the number one slot cornerback. So
yeah.
They've used Burnett's versatility in a lot of ways this year, but if you don't have Jake Ryan, well, then you're down to Blake Martinez and Joe Thomas, and if one of those guys get hurt, well, now you're out of that nickel package completely. You're going to have to go to a sub-dime, you know, nitro package. So that's a big one. We'll see exactly what his forecast is for the week. But I think Jake Ryan doesn't get a lot of publicity. We talk so much about Blake Martinez this year, and rightfully so. He's on his way to the Pro Bowl. But Jake Ryan has been, I thought, really solid in those early downs. It's one of the reasons he's their biggest inside backer. I think he defends the run really well. And that would be a big, big piece if the Packers don't have him going up against, you know, Jonathan Stewart and Christian McCaffrey, some really good weapons out of that backfield.
Yeah, and Cam Newton on that read option too, because when you're talking about a guy like Morgan Burnett or another safety who could be giving up 30 pounds to Newton trying to tackle him one-on-one, if Jake Ryan can at least get a hit there, you're a little bit more even in the size and weight department. But we had talked earlier this week also about Clay Matthews and kind of how he seems to be surging here towards the end of the season. You get Nick Perry back on the field to help with that pass rush with what Matthews is starting to provide off of his edge. And, you know, maybe this pass rush starts to get a little more consistent. At least that's what you'd hope for.
I mean, if you look at it, Michael, him and Nick Perry, they basically combined for half of the Packers sacks this year. I think they have 14 and a half. The team has 31.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the way that Matthews has come on, tied for second most sacks since week 11 with 5. Perry, I thought, got off to a good start. Has really been banged up, though, between the shoulder, the foot. You know, he had the hand injury earlier in the season.
Yeah.
A lot of things working against him there. If they can keep those guys healthy for the stretch run, I think that could be really important, especially not really sure what's going to happen with that secondary. You probably don't have Devon House this week. That means more Josh Hawkins. Demetri Goodson, could he play outside? We'll see. But that secondary is banged up. The pass rush could really help them there.
Yeah, and as we talked about, it's going to be a mix-and-match thing with the defensive backs using safeties here or there, using cornerbacks in different spots and seeing who's available. If the pass rush can establish something up front, that's gonna make things easier for Dom Capers.
Just like you draw it up in training camp.
Yeah, exactly. Just how you draw it up. With that, we'll call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, the birthday boy is at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.